Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Taylor.
Guess what?
What?
We're going to be doing a virtual live show again.
Do I have to wear pants?
Nope.
Thank God I hate wearing pants. It's been hot.
October 15th, we are going to be doing a virtual live show talking about the movie Super Troopers with our good friend Max Zaleski of Without a Cause Wrestling.
He's not our height twin.
He is definitely not our height twin. He is a great guy, though. So you're going to want to check this out. Head to cultofsplat.com/events or moment.co/cultofsplat to get your tickets and join us.
It's only $5. What else are you going to do on a Saturday night?
Kevin, you're married.
I am.
You ever get in trouble with your wife and have to buy her flowers?
More than I'd like to admit.
Let me tell you a little secret. Next time, try getting her an edible arrangement.
What's that?
Well, it's better than flowers because you can eat it. Like, I know there are some flowers you can eat, but they're not very good. Not like an edible arrangement. This is fresh fruit covered in milk chocolate or dark chocolate. There's also cookies or brownies and every kind of delectable dessert that you can think of.
My wife loves all those things.
And just to entice you a little more, you can get $10 off an order of $59 or more by going to cultofsplat.com/edible and using the code AFFLGEN10. I know that's kind of a weird one, so I'll repeat it. AFFLGEN10, and that'll get you $10 off any order of $59 or more at Edible Arrangements.
I should probably pre-order because I'm going to get in trouble in a matter of minutes.
Whatever the hell time of day it is when you're listening to this, welcome back to Cult of Splat. My name is Taylor Bartle. I am joined once again by my co-host, Mr. Kevin Nesgoda.
Yo, you know, Taylor, I said you were invited, but your friend couldn't come. So what's up?
I see what you did there, because we have a very special guest on the podcast. Our first two-time guest. You could say we thawed him out. Quiet, I haven't introduced you yet.
He's almost an all-star, an all-star guest.
Please welcome back to the show, Mr. Tony G, a.k.a. Skeletony.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back.
Thanks. It's nice to be here in my house.
I was like, that doesn't look like Taylor's house. Plus, there was a baby running around, and I know he doesn't have one of those.
Right. Not yet.
Not ever. So what's new with you gentlemen? Awkward silence. Awesome.
Yeah, it's hot down here.
It's not cool here,
but it's not as hot.
I
am no longer sweating my asshole out.
Well, sure, but I also have an air conditioned house.
Well, that's awesome.
That's nice.
My wife says it's like 85 degrees outside. So
ooh, that's not cool.
It's like 90 something here.
Kevin, you don't have AC?
No, we have AC.
Oh, okay.
He lives in California because he has AC.
I was going to say, the way he said, you know, that sounds nice when you said you have AC. It made it sound like he didn't.
No, it's just like nice for people in the Northwest to have AC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, after last summer, we had to do it. Like,
oh, yeah. Climate change and everything.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, don't start that bullshit.
The sun is hot. The earth is cold.
I think the jury's still out on science.
It'll be snowing in December and you'll be begging for global warming.
That's right. When it's 25 degrees, you want it to be 85. Well, yeah, that's why I live in California. So it doesn't get to 25 degrees.
The only people in California who don't have AC are people like who live in shitty apartments in the valley.
That's true. And there are a lot of shitty apartments in the valley.
There are a lot of shitty apartments.
And that's where our movie takes place.
Yeah. Speaking of the valley and snow in December and ice and things of that nature, today we are talking about the 1992 comedy Encino Man, or California Man for our friends outside the U.S.
Right. That is so weird.
I have to assume it's because people not in the U.S. don't know where Encino is.
That's what I would think, yeah.
I'd assume most people in the U.S. don't know where Encino is. So.
Ah, fair enough.
I mean, I'll be fully honest with you. If it wasn't for this movie, I probably wouldn't know where Encino was.
Yeah. Encino is where rich people live.
Yes. It's in the good part of the valley. It's right on the west side of the 101.
Right.
So Rotten Tomato score for this movie. You ready for this?
Hit me.
15%.
Ouch.
Damn.
Better than your last pick, though, Tony.
What was my last one?
Slackers, which I think was 8%.
Right, okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember the percentage.
Audience score, 56%.
That's a markedly improved number.
I would not as high as I would have thought, though.
Yeah, no. Still pretty low for a Brendan Fraser
vehicle,
sure.
But Pauly Shore, he was so hot right then.
By the way, Brendan Fraser, now two times on the show, on the verge of all-star status.
Ooh.
And Robin Tunney.
And who?
Robin Tunney.
And Robin Tunney, yeah.
Yeah, she was in Empire Records.
Kevin, I don't know if you're interested in doing The Craft, but that could possibly make her an all-star.
Yeah, we could do that. I'm fine with, waiting the system here.
Little Fairuza Balk action.
Yeah.
Just picking and choosing your all-stars.
I mean, we kind of are, because we're like, at this point, we've got multiple people on two movies. So we're just like, who do we want to be the first all-star?
Yeah, we're totally curating this list.
Yeah. Wait, do you have an all-star yet?
Not yet.
Oh,
not
I yet. Thought you did. But I thought you had like a couple of them.
We already know who our first three are going to be.
Yes. Oh.
So critics' consensus on this says Encino Man isn't the first unabashedly silly comedy to embrace its stupidity and amass a cult following, but whether or not it works for you will largely be determined by your tolerance for Pauly Shore.
Man, that's harsh.
Damn.
I appreciate that last line, though.
Fair enough.
I think Pauly Shore is at his most tolerable in this one. It progressively gets worse through like In the Army Now, Son-in-Law, and Jerry Duty movie.
This is like his first big movie, I think.
It is.
Up to this point, he was just doing like stand-up.
And MTV.
And MTV. I forgot about that.
There was it just called The Pauly Shore Show?
I think so.
Pauly Show?
Pauly Show. I see what you did there.
Faux show.
So this is written by George Zaloom, which is a great name. Zaloom, Zaloom, Zaloom. To his credit, he has a bunch of no score yet movies. And then he has this and the 100% Hearts of Darkness.
Nice.
Hearts of Darkness. I know that.
It's a documentary about the making of Apocalypse Now.
Oh, yes. Right. So never seen it, but yeah, I know of it.
This guy has two rated credits, Encino Man and Hearts of Darkness, 15% and 100%.
That's quite the gap.
Directed by Les Mayfield, who did this, American Outlaws, Flubber, Blue Streak, the remake of Miracle on 34th Street, and Hearts of Darkness.
So they're a winning team.
Apparently. IMDb synopsis. When they find a frozen caveman in their backyard, two high school outcasts thaw him and introduce him to modern life, while he in turn gets them to actually enjoy life.
That's pretty spot on.
Not bad.
No, it's close.
We're going to maybe ignore the science in this film.
We should definitely ignore the science.
Lack thereof.
Yeah, Tony, IMDb sometimes will be completely wrong. Sometimes it will be right, but be so bare bones that it couldn't be wrong. It's just like Brendan Fraser stars. Like, well, yeah, but
yeah,
I but know else? That.
Yeah,
I could scroll down and see that.
Like, Brendan Fraser in a supernatural thriller
in a world
far, far away.
All right, gentlemen, shall we dive in?
I think we should dive in because, you know, this takes place kind of in a pool.
Part of it does take place in something resembling a pool.
Yeah. And pools are great for holding water.
That's true. You make an interesting point. You know, it's funny, where the house is, it's up on a hill, as most houses in Encino are. And it reminded me, because he's digging this pool, and it reminds me so much of this house I lived in down in the OC.
Don't call it that.
Ew. I'm sorry you lived there.
I loved it there. I mean, the city I lived in, San Juan Capistrano. It wasn't San Diego or anything like
that.
Where the women instinctively flock with the salmon of San Juan Capistrano.
I was thinking the same exact thing.
But there were in my probably about a year before we moved into our house, there had been a pool, a house with a pool up on the hill behind our neighborhood that had sprung a leak, and the entire pool just it basically collapsed, and the entire pool of water rushed down the hill and just completely decimated not only this hillside, but two houses on our street.
Oh my God.
By the time we moved in, one had already been completely demolished. So there's just a big open lot, but the other one, it looked like a weird, creepy abandoned house. It was the weirdest thing. Cause this was not like a low income area. We were renting our house. So we were kind of out of place there. But it was so weird to have this creepy abandoned house on this street of otherwise, nice houses. Anyway, that was just a little aside. Sorry.
Did it happen to be the last house on the left by chance?
No, it was actually like the fifth house in the middle.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
Not the middle, literally in the middle of the street. It was five houses down from the end of the street.
Okay. I was like, was it in the median?
I'm sure it's a median and some random cul-de-sac.
Just built in a giant roundabout.
Like Baba Yaga's house or something.
Okay, back to the movie. We open up in the Ice Age. We see caveman Brandon Fraser and his cave wife.
You know they're cavemen.
Because they live in a cave. It's snowing outside because it must be December. And so Brandon Fraser is building a fire in the cave when all of a sudden there's an earthquake and the cave collapses. Cut to 1992.
Good old days.
Good old days.
We see Mikey himself, Sean Astin, Samwise.
That would be most people's go-to.
I just recently did a whole thing where I went to Astoria and did the whole Goonies tour. So
we did that. It's pretty cool.
Sean Astin wakes up to an earthquake because, it's the valley. It's just earthquakes all the time.
Yeah.
That's what this movie, will make you think there are four earthquakes a day in Encino.
And they're just they're just so commonplace that people in California are just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, another earthquake. Hang on. All right. Write it out.
Yeah, we haven't had one in a few years. Like a decent sized one.
Yeah. I mean, you get tremors, probably at least once a year, but, big ones like, the fucking, one happened in
Northridge.
In Northridge, yeah, it was 91, 92. And I think that's probably what inspired this.
Probably,
thing,
yeah.
Was the Northridge. Yeah. That was scary. Man. Kevin, you're not originally from down there, are you?
No, but I remember watching it on the news and it was scary as fuck. I was holy shit. I was like, good thing Washington never gets earthquakes. I was stupid.
That Northridge quake was I was just a kid. I was probably about 6-7 years old. And middle of the night, my dad just comes running into our bedroom screaming, "Get in the doorway, get in the doorway. What's happening?
Bart, you want to see my new chains on hockey mask?"
Anyway, sorry. I know this isn't your format, so I keep throwing you off here.
We see Sean Astin digging his own pool in his own backyard,
a single shovel.
Good which God. I don't think is up to code.
No, no.
I don't think you can just dig a hole and fill it with water and go, it's a pool.
No, that would not cut it in Los Angeles now.
Yeah, inspectors would have something to say about that.
Yeah.
A few things and some paper to hand you.
Right.
His friend Stoney shows up, played by none other than Pauly Shore. His sister comes into the back yard just to insult him and call him a disease and tell him he's not going to the prom.
Oh, little sisters.
Oh, they're all like that.
It's true.
And Pauly is just like, she's right. We're not going to the prom because we're losers.
There's us, buddy.
But
Pauly Shore adding extra vowel or extra syllables since 1988
and random pauses.
This is kind of pulling the veil back here. Me and Kevin realized that Pauly Shore is not only going to be a Cult of Splat all-star, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
What's the five?
Five. Count them. Five.
Nice.
Can you guess them all?
Let's see. This jury duty. Son-in-law?
No, not jury duty.
Not jury duty?
Not doing jury duty. That one, no, that one's too bad.
That's the worst one, huh?
We draw a line somewhere.
Son-in-law, yes.
In the Army now?
Yep.
Biodome?
Yep.
Yep.
You know this. It's the Leaning Tower of Jesus. Oh,
Goofy movies rotten?
Yep.
Fuck off.
I think that's what Taylor said, too.
God damn it. People.
Okay. So Sean Astin says that the reason he's digging this pool is because he wants to have this epic pool party after prom because he wants to be remembered. He wants his own page in the yearbook. And Pauly says, why don't you just jump off the gym, splatter on the street, and go for the cup fair. But he tells him, look, man, like Robin Sweeney is not going to go to the prom with you because she finds you crusty. Pauly Shore's vocab in this movie is like seven words that he just takes to mean different things.
Every single time.
Crusty is a good thing, but at this point, crusty is a bad thing. I don't know.
Same with greasy. He's like, oh, he's greasy, yeah. Like gross. But then it's like when a girl's hot later, oh, she's totally greasy. And like,
right,
bro, make up your mind.
I was a child when this movie came out. So
I think we all were.
Well, sure. Yeah. And I lived in California, so I don't recall these, being like terms,
slang
terms. That's not to say they weren't. I just really don't remember them.
No, I think this is just Pauly.
I remember people dressing like Pauly Shore.
Yeah. Pauly
is the next day they're going to school. They're driving their moped down the quad, I guess. I don't know. Is that a quad?
Yeah, they shot this at a junior college in Sylmar.
I was going to say, do high schools have quads? I feel like quads is a college thing, but...
Kind of, I guess.
We'll just call it a quad, because I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah.
But he's driving his moped through the quad, and he's wearing this like pink fishnet shirt over a white tank top, and he's got a pink headband on.
Fucking straight out bell bottoms. The 60s.
Yeah. And we see Robin Sweeney, this girl that... Astin is in love with
Megan Ward.
Very attractive.
So hot. Want to touch the hiney.
Remember this and fucking PCU.
Oh my God. Yes.
God, she was so fun.
But
she's still working too. I was shocked. Yeah. She's like a bunch of TV shows and she had like a 13 year run on General Hospital.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah. That's what I said.
Good for her.
But we also see her boyfriend, Matt.
Who is Dom DeLuise's kid, I just found out earlier today.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like his youngest son.
Yeah, brother of Peter DeLuise of 21 Jump Street fame.
Oh, I thought that was the same guy. 21
Jump Street.
Oh, okay. Now
he was in 21 Jump Street?
Yeah, he was in a couple episodes.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Officer Doug Penhall.
All right.
You don't know 21 Jump Street?
Not really. I know the movie.
God damn it. Well, he was in that too.
Yeah, he was.
All right. So that at school, they're, I don't know if this is like an anthropology class or what, but they're studying cavemen. They're studying Cro-Magnon man. And their teacher, who is this guy from like all the Adam Sandler movies. He's talking about, glaciers and the Ice Age and all that stuff. And he says, some people still believe that there are underground glaciers in this very part of the country still today. But what do I think that is, kids?
Lame.
Yeah, that's right. Bogus.
And I completely agree. especially that close to the surface.
Yes.
We're not there yet.
Okay. Hold off.
It's not a scene, but it's just like a short little thing where Astin is staring at Robin, and this has become a meme, and it's, I laughed my ass off just watching it yesterday, where he's looking at her and she smiles at him, and then Matt just like moves into frame and just shakes his head.
I always love that.
It's so good. It's like as if his field of view is a camera.
Yeah.
As if he doesn't have like peripheral vision, so he just like pops into frame.
It's like a perfect slide. I love to do that occasionally if, you know, the situation calls for it.
Sure, yeah. When somebody's hitting on your girl.
Yeah, which never happens.
So yeah, the guy pulls down this one of those things that you pull down.
Map?
No, it's not a map because it's a picture of the caveman, but it's like the same
gimmick. Yeah, it's a pull down.
Caveman map.
Map, yeah.
Cave map, but cave not map. Of caves.
Yeah, it's of a man. It's mapping.
It's like a scroll.
People, a teaching aid.
You know what?
Yeah.
A roll-up teaching aid. Let's call it that.
Sure. He pulls one of those down. It's got a Cro-Magnon man and Robin Tunney, not to be confused with Robin Sweeney. Why did they do that?
To fuck with you.
Yeah.
To fuck with you 30 years later.
Robin Tunney, who plays Ella, is like, oh man, he's hot.
Ella.
Hey.
Like a song. That's what the song's about.
Robin Tunney?
That song's about Robin Tunney's character in Encino Man.
Prove me wrong.
Then why did she say umbrella before?
I don't know. Ask her. I didn't write the fucking thing.
He didn't write it. Duh.
Is this the next day? I think it's the next day. There's another earthquake. And this like bowl gets unearthed in Aston's pool. And Polly says it's a whatever bowl from the
Manchurian
whatever.
Manchurian bowl.
Mysterium bowl.
Mysterium. It's not
Manchurian. Manchurian. Or I guess he finds it before the earthquake, and then there's an earthquake, and Polly, he does like the whoa! It's like a pratfall, sends the bull flying. Sean Astin like jumps off the wheelbarrow and makes a diving catch.
A geek could not have done that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was pretty athletic for.
Yeah, that was way too athletic guy who for Rudy.
Doesn't do sports for Rudy. but when he crashes to the ground, he notices this chunk of ice. Like, and this is what Tony was saying earlier. Like 5 feet deep.
Yeah, let me tell you something. The frost line in California is at least 5 feet. Probably in Southern California, I'd say it's probably lower. So the fact that a giant chunk of ice could exist about 5 or 6 feet underground is outrageous.
And when the teacher said that people still believe there are underground glaciers in this part of the country, I don't think he meant 5 or 6 feet.
No, that's had to be like hundreds of feet. Thousands. Yeah.
And if something is from a prehistoric age, it would have to be like 10, 20 feet underground, even in a place where it could exist.
Right. Yeah. 5, 6 feet underground, you dig down. Yeah, it's going to be cooler, but if it's 100 degrees, that dirt's still going to be like 70.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous. It's
going to be warm enough to melt ice.
But he notices that there's a man in it, and he's like, maybe it's Jimmy Hoffa. Maybe it's Jimmy Mahoney. He was this kid I knew in Cub Scouts. Like, why would it be him?
Because Sean Astin's dad, who is a former Teen Wolf, decided to kidnap Jimmy Mahoney, put him in ice, and bury him in the backyard.
But Astin's like, oh, man, this is it. This is like our ticket to fame and notoriety, and everyone's going to know our names. And Paulie's just like, I don't care about any of that. You know, I'm just happy being me. And he's like, don't you need some fundage? some older nugs with a nice mansion and a pool? And then, I don't remember what the last thing was that finally
Jeopardy,
like
all the Jeopardy you can watch.
All the Jeopardy.
And so Polly's like, that was the clincher. And then Astin quotes Ted DiBiase and says, everybody's got a price.
Oh.
So they dig up the ice chunk, put it in the garage, cover it with heat lamps. And Sean Astin tells Polly not to tell anyone. Polly's like, not even Steve Kuser? Like, no one. Next day
My
at school,
Steve Kuser.
Next day at school, Sean Astin immediately goes to Robin and tells her he found the caveman.
That son of a bitch.
You piece of shit.
Dude, fucking Samwise is such a piece of shit in this. Like Dave is the most reprehensible character.
Yeah. But so Matt sees him talking to Robin, and so he staples him to the wall. And he's like, look, man, it's time for you to figure shit out. Some of us pump and some of us slump. You need to do more pumping. I'm like, is he hitting on him?
It's like, hey, you want to meet me later? You know, we don't have to tell anybody. It's cool.
Do some pumping.
Do some pumps.
Hey, yo, they call me the pumper, and I'll be your friend. Matt writes, eat me. On Sean Austin's forehead, and then he pulls the fire alarm so that everyone comes out and sees him.
Got him so hard.
Like, I know he used a staple gun, but like Sean Austin's shirt must have been really strong to hold him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't shopping at Mervyn's or anything like that back in the day.
So back
in one of those high class flannels.
That's right. Yeah. Something Eddie Vedder would have worn.
Do you remember guys wearing flannel shirts? Not just like the Seattle thing, but wearing flannel shirts and only doing up like the bottom two buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did that. Was that a thing?
I don't know. I did that with zip up hoodies too. I would just zip it up like a quarter of an inch and leave it there.
Yeah. What the hell?
I still do that.
I've always, if I zip up hoodies at all, I always do it like halfway. I never zip it up all the way.
And you wear nothing underneath, right?
Right. Except a chain.
It's like a duster.
It's like a big ass chain.
With a big cross on it.
Right. So in the block of ice, the block of ice melts enough that the man inside wakes up and it's Brendan Fraser.
Now here's a science check.
Yeah.
You'd be so frostbitten.
Yeah, right.
That his flesh would melt just like the ice.
But no, he's still all dirty and crusty and greasy and
grinded or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever the kids are saying.
But he gets up and he walks out into the yard and he steps on a rake and he's like,
I know how Sideshow Bob feels now. I don't know who that is, but I know how he feels.
He does kind of have the hair.
He does. He totally has this Sideshow Bob hair.
Clearly, that Simpsons episode was a reference to Encino Man.
Naturally.
The dog comes up and gives him some kisses. And then, like, the dog scratches himself. And so Brendan Fraser, like, copies the dog and scratches behind his ear. And, like, the dog tries to paw at him and they, like, go hand over hand. It's adorable.
It's adorable. But, you know, I was thinking, like, rewatching this, like, you know, when I watched this as a kid, it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. Makes sense. But now I'm like, he probably would have eaten the dog.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%, right?
But then he yells at a helicopter, and he like drinks out of a puddle or like some runoff.
Don't want to do that in California. That's gross. No,
that's icky doo-doo water.
That's definitely going to be somebody's like car wash soap.
Right?
Yeah.
He attacks a garbage truck with a shovel.
People in LA don't give a fuck.
No.
He attacks a garbage truck with a shovel. The garbage truck is making elephant noises. He then goes back into the house and he steps on the remote, turns on the TV by accident. Terminator 2 is playing. So like he's trying to figure it out. And he like pushes a button and it goes to a music video by Sacred Reich.
Yeah.
And he starts like headbanging.
I think it's a headache.
Switches it again to some band called Yothu Yindi. I only know that because it popped up on my phone.
Your phone just does that?
Yeah.
You have like Shazam or Kazam on there? Whatever
it's like Shazam, but it's just built in. It's like Kazam. Yeah, like I have the Shaq movie built into my phone. It just plays at random times.
I thought that was Sinbad.
We're not doing that.
So Sean Astin runs in and he finds... Also, the iceberg melts, but then like when Brendan Fraser sits up, he's covered in like crushed ice.
Right.
Right.
Like they just took it out of a bar and just dumped it on him. But Astin comes home and he finds the melted ice and Polly's like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I'll buy some ho-hos. They hear the smoke alarm go off. They run in and they see Brendan Fraser starting a fire in Sean Astin's room. And they're trying to introduce themselves. Obviously, he doesn't understand what's going on. Sean Astin's like, I'm Dave, and this is Stoney. Stoney's like, we hope you don't gnaw on our beaks.
Buddy.
Phone starts ringing. That freaks him out. He gets on the bed, and he just starts jumping on the bed. And all of a sudden, he's like, hey, this is fun. And he starts to calm down. Then all of a sudden, the dial tone goes off, and that freaks him out all over. Until finally, Stoney lights his Bic, and he's just like, ooh, fire. And so, like, he's, you know, enthralled by the fire. And he goes to do something, and Sean Astin is like, no. He's like, no.
He tries to light a fire that he was starting in the room.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He tries to just, yeah. And Sean Astin tells him no, and he's like, no. And so no. That's his first word. He learned a word.
Yay.
The wrong word.
Or the right word. No is a good word to know.
That's true.
You know, having watched this after having a child, I have to wonder how much time Brendan Fraser spent around a toddler to get ready for this role.
The entire time.
Yeah, like the mannerisms are so on, like they're exactly the kind of shit my son does all the time.
So is your son a caveman?
He might be a caveman, you know?
Right. Yeah, that tracks.
I mean, I saw where he came from, but, you know, there's always that one little shadow of doubt.
There could have been a switching situation at the hospital. Like,
yeah, I mean, they took him away for a little bit, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Took him away, gave him to the fairies. And then
I didn't mark his hand, so.
You should have. That way you didn't know if he's a changeling or not.
Right. But so Polly says they're going to teach him how to wheeze, whatever that means.
We're going to give him asthma right away. We're going to take him to, you know, the forests of California and start a wildfire.
But Aston says, you know, we got to teach him how to be normal. Polly's like, nah, we're going to go psycho with him, bro. And so it's montage time.
Montage.
We give him a bubble bath, brush his teeth, cut his hair, all to the tune of Too Sexy by Right Said Fred, of course.
I like how they were putting chemical cleaners in the bathtub with him. Like, here's some Windex. Let's put that in here. It's fine.
Whatever makes bubbles.
Yeah.
And they give him like these little like mini soaps and he starts eating them. Plus he's drinking mouthwash.
And aftershave.
Sometimes you got to drink a little mouthwash.
Just to stave off the shakes.
Yeah.
Just keep things straight.
But they show him his reflection in the mirror. And of course, that freaks him out because he's never seen a mirror before, or himself, probably.
Yeah, he's like, what the fuck is this shit?
He's like trying to look at the other side of the mirror. And so they name him Link since he's the missing Link.
He's Polly's not, like, though.
Polly's like, I was kind of thinking of Stoney Jr. or Stoney 2. No, he's definitely not the missing Link.
No, no, that's Sasquatch.
His stage in evolution is definitely mapped.
Yeah.
But Sean Astin freaks him out by doing like the broken thumb trick. And suddenly they hear a car in the driveway. And Polly's like, your parents. Sean Astin's like, my parents. And Link goes, ah.
All those quick slide. Like, it's not really a smash cut because it's the same cut. But like,
it's like a slide cut, right?
Yeah. I don't know. But it's got to be a name for it.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is.
Smash slide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go with like the whoosh that goes along with it too.
Right.
But Sean Astin introduces Link, Brendan Fraser, to his parents and says, you know, this is Linkovich Chomovsky, our foreign exchange student. You don't remember? We talked about this like back in June or whatever. And he just gaslights his parents. His dad just like, oh yeah, I think I do remember that.
Well, who didn't gaslight their parents a little bit?
That's true.
I love when he's like, he's like, mom, you don't remember? Just like when you didn't remember to pick me up that one time after soccer practice.
It's like clearly something he's been hanging over her head for years.
But they say that he's from Estonia.
Is Get Estonia it? Even a country then?
I
was it not?
Probably. Why? If it didn't, how could they know the name of it?
That's a good point.
I mean, the USSR had already collapsed, so.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. It was probably one of the breakaway ones. Oh, yeah, definitely was. Oh, yeah, Independence, August 20th, 1991.
There you go.
Also, it had just become a country.
Yeah.
Like good brand for them. Spanking new.
Way to go, Estonia.
Outside, Link has the dog in a fireman's carry.
Why is he attacking the dog?
Why is he attacking the dog? So he's bonding.
Did you say his dad's played by Richard Mazur?
I mean, yeah. Kevin alluded to him being a Teen Wolf.
Wait, what?
He's the dad in Teen Wolf, too, isn't he?
No.
No.
He's the dad in something else.
He's the dad in License to Drive.
That's definitely not what I'm thinking.
He is so fucking terrifying. I was scared to death of Richard Mazur for years when I saw License to Drive as a child. Probably because he reminded me so much of my own dad when he would become mean and terrifying. Ooh. Not that he, not like that's like, that came out bad.
It's story time with Uncle Tony.
God, I don't know what I'm thinking of. He was in the thing. That's not what I'm thinking of.
My Girl? Risky Business?
My Girl.
No, he didn't. I don't think he played a dad in Risky Business.
I don't recall him ever playing a werewolf.
Yeah, no, he's not the dad in Teen Wolf.
Okay, that's my bad.
Yeah, that is on you.
Yeah, he just looks like the dad in Teen Wolf.
You hang your head in shame.
All these 80 movies start running together eventually.
Oh, I played Stanley in It. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. Anyway, they go back up into Sean Astin's room. Link sees this picture of this woman wearing just enough of a top to cover her tits.
Just enough.
And Link is just enthralled by it. And Astin is just like, nice Betty, huh? And he's like, Betty. And then they're like, Gonzaga's. I'm like, I'm sure that the University of Gonzaga really appreciates being associated with boobs. But Aston's like, tomorrow I'm going to take you somewhere very special. And Polly's like, Taco Bell.
Yes, the original one.
And Sean Astin's like, even better. And I'm like, no, high school is not better than Taco Bell.
No. No. We left high school to go to Taco Bell.
That's right.
Exactly. So many things are not as good as Taco Bell.
Let's go through each and every one of them for the next 6 hours.
I like hospitals.
Oh, you do. You like Taco Bell.
So the next day, they take him to school. Rose McGowan sighting here.
Oh, yeah.
Very briefly. Kevin and I decided that to be considered for All-Star status, the movie must be on your Rotten Tomatoes page, because the Rotten Tomatoes pages are not complete. So Rose McGowan, this is still only made one appearance officially on Cult of Splats.
And another guy coming up will also not have an official appearance yet either.
Right. But so they enroll him in school. Link spots Robin. They're standing up on like a balcony and he notices her down below. So he just parkours off the balcony. And Polly's like, how's your melon, bud?
I'd be more worried about his knees and his lower back.
He didn't land on his head.
Yeah.
He landed in like a crouch, which
he should have landed in the superhero position.
Well, that's terrible for your knees.
Yeah, it's horrible, especially for your shins.
Completely impractical.
But so Link grabs Ella, and he's like, Gonzagas.
Betty Nugs.
And he like gets right in her face. She thinks they're going to make out, but then they don't. Astin and Polly show up and pull him off her. But she tells Robin that she calls dibs. Because she thinks he's Jive.
Right.
Yeah. Who the hell used a Jive in 1992? How old was the writer of this movie when he wrote this?
Yeah, Jive feels more like 60s even.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, again, I was a child, so I can't say with absolute confidence, but I don't recall anyone ever using the word Jive.
Yeah.
The only time I really heard it at this point in my life was in Airplane. Which, you know, a 10-year-old should not have been watching.
Oh, please. I watched Airplane plenty of times when I was 10.
Yeah, me too. I saw the first Friday the 13th when I was like 4 or 5, so, you know.
Attaboy.
Tony watched Vamp when he was 6.
Nice.
No, like 3.
Oh. But so in anthropology class, Matt is not impressed with Link. Link, I guess maybe this was before that, before they went to class. But regardless, Matt is not impressed with Link. Link dances with these like two hip hop guys. They're just got a, I don't know if they have a radio in their locker or what? I don't know where the music was coming from.
Yeah, their locker was open, but there was nothing inside it. I rewound it and watched it. There was nothing in there.
Yeah, I don't know where the music was coming from. They're just like dancing and he comes up and starts just...
The magic of movies.
Yeah.
It came from Steve Kuster.
Whoever that is.
It was the janitor that they walked right by right before this.
It was?
Yeah.
Wait, Steve Kuster is an actual person?
Yeah, he was the janitor.
How do you know that?
Because Paulie Shore goes, hey, Steve Kuster.
Oh,
I completely missed that.
I've watched this more times than I can count. I've never once caught that.
Yeah, the guy's like mopping as they're like coming around a corner. And he's like, hey, Steve Kuster. And the guy like just like does like a quick head, you know, lift. Fuck?
I'll be goddamn.
I mean, of course, Stoney's buds with a fucking janitor.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes total sense.
But so they go to Spanish class and they learn. We see them learn two phrases. I don't know what else they learn, but they learn the cheese is old and moldy. El queso es viejo y podrido. And where is the bathroom? ¿Dónde está la sanitario?
That'll come into play later.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a reason I'm telling you this. Ella asks Link out on a date. Polly asks if him and Sean Astin can come too. Polly takes Link to the mini mart. And he's asking the two guys behind the counter. He's like, hey, how long for the burrito? And one's like, 2 minutes. And the other guy's like, no, 1 minute. And they're like, 1.5 minutes. So he puts the burrito in for a minute and a half, and he starts telling Link all about the four basic food groups, and Link's holding a banana, and he's like, nope, not that.
Yeah, not one of these.
And they're going down the candy aisle, and he's like, we got our dairy group, Milk Duds, our fruit group, Sweet Tarts.
Oh, yeah. Lived off those in high school.
The vegetable group, which I'm not sure what it was, but the box said chili picante.
I think it was corn nuts. I think he said corn nuts.
Oh, okay. And then you hear the ding, and he's like, meat group. And so he opens the burrito, splits it in half, takes a bite. He's like, hot on the outside, icicle in the middle. And then you hear one of the guys from the off camera go, 2 minutes. Then they go up to the icy machine. Polly starts, he just puts his head under it. And the guy starts yelling at him. Polly's like, we're going to go hit the mountain and we need to wheeze the juice. And he's like, no wheezing the juice.
Wheeze the juice.
Wheeze the juice. Wheeze the juice. Here's a story.
Okay.
When I was a kid, my brother and I, we had a couple of Star Trek The Next Generation action figures. And they came with, like a lot of action figures, they come with like a little stand that you kind of plug into the bottom of their foot so it keeps them steady like display. They came with like a little comm badge replica to stick them on. And we'd be playing, and I had this Worf figure. He would be like the hero that would save the day for whatever reason. And he would just come flying in on his comm badge.
And as they did in the show.
Yeah. And his battle cry was, wheeze the juice. Wheeze the juice.
No, wheezing the juice.
To be 7 years old again.
Link gets a brain freeze and the guy kicks him out of the store. Link like sticks his head back in, puts on a pair of sunglasses. He's like, I'll be back.
Did you recognize one of these guys at 7-Eleven was a guy from fucking a lot of Kevin Smith movies, God damn it. 40 Year Virgin. It's not about asshole pleasures.
It was that guy.
Yeah.
His real name is Jerry Bednob.
That's quite the name.
Yeah. But the other guy was in was the doctor in The Mummy with
Mummy.
Yeah.
Eric Avari.
Not about an alligator fuckhouse.
No.
Not about Rusty Trumbull.
But so they go to Mega Mountain. They ride the roller coaster. They like pick on this poor panda mascot.
Guys, don't go to Mega Mountain.
No.
AKA Magic Mountain. It's not a good place.
It isn't.
No.
Remember when we went to California and the Aquabats were playing at Magic Mountain while we were there and we were so mad that we didn't know about it?
Yep. But also, it's like driving to Valencia is not a great experience. Anyway,
Polly photobombs these babes, and then they like go on the river raft ride with the babes. The bibs. Kevin, remember when we went on Grizzly River Run at Disneyland?
I do, and you got so wet.
We both got really wet, but I got especially fucking wet. I was like, whatever you do, sit on the inside, like sit in the middle. And so we get on and we sit in the middle, and the guy's like, you need to scoot over. I'm like, son of a bitch.
God damn it. We're going to Knott's Berry Farm as a kid. They have Big River Rapids. It's basically the same thing. And I'd go on it with my brother, and you know, my brother, he was six, so he's always very small. And my mom.
I didn't realize you were married at such a young age.
Calling Dr. Freud. my mom would like be so worried about him going on that ride because like he would always, he was always the one that got wet. And so he just been like, sitting there like shivering like a little chihuahua for the rest of the day. My mom was so panicked.
Why didn't you give him a poncho or something?
It didn't exist in the 80s.
You met my dad. We don't spend money on extras. You
put a garbage bag around him. Anyway, that night, or they go back to Sean Astin's house. Sean Astin is sitting in the driveway, and he like freaks out, like, where the hell were you guys? And they're like, oh, we went to Magic Mountain. And Link is like, check out the fresh nugs. Where's the juice? Ow, buddy. Astin's just like, oh, great. You got him talking like you know.
He's very impressionable.
Yeah, he's like a sponge, like a toddler.
Yeah.
I just wish my toddler took orders as well as Link does.
Yeah, really.
Freeze him.
So they're having dinner that freeze him.
That'll teach him.
That'll learn him.
Give him a few millennia to think about things.
Yeah. Where's mom and dad? They've been dead for 1,000 years.
So they're having dinner, and Aston's dad asks Stoney, so Stanley, how's your mother? And he goes, oh, she's really bummed. Can you pass the peas? I was like, wait, what?
Go back to that thing.
Why is she bummed?
It's because you don't ever go to her house?
I guess, but he says if I had the whole Brady Bunch thing happen in my pad, I'd grind over there.
Yeah, I was just assumed it was like him and his mom in like a really shitty apartment.
Yeah, it could be. But Link starts like tracking a fly.
Well, so, I imagine Stoney probably doesn't live in Encino. He probably lives in like Modesto or something.
Winnetka.
Yeah.
Yeah, shut up.
I don't know what these towns are. Link tracks a fly while Pauly Shore is like, shoo fly, don't bother me. And finally like catches it in his hand and he just shoves it in his mouth. And Pauly's like, meet group.
The dad wanted to vomit at this point. No, not yet.
Meanwhile, the dog is eating out of the Manchurian bowl. And Link like gets on the ground and starts eating the dog food.
As you do.
As one does.
Yeah. You know, those Estonians are weird.
Don't make fun of other people's cultures.
My bad.
Isn't that night they go to Blades?
I think so, yeah.
After dinner, they go to Blades, which is like the cool kid hangout that they were never allowed at before.
It's a skating rink.
Yeah. They act like it's like this is like mecca of cool. And it's like, it's a skating rink. Yeah. Yeah, it's ice skating rink, not even like a roller rink. Because, you know, roller rinks are cooler.
It's a really shady skating rink.
While as an adult in his 30s, every once in a while, I'm like, yeah, it might be cool to go to the roller rink like the old, you know, the good old days. But I have not been to a skating rink since I was in like sixth grade.
I don't like to put things between me and the ground because they usually end up with me falling.
I'm with Taylor on this.
Things like skateboards and rollerblades and ice skates and alpine slides.
Sure.
Hula hoops.
What?
What? Nothing.
Women.
Yeah, I usually don't put women between my feet and the ground.
Did you say feet?
I probably.
What kind of porn are you not watching?
But speaking of skateboards, these two goobers push a skateboard into Sean Astin's way, and he like steps on it and he falls right into Robin. One of these guys is his character's named Taylor, which I appreciate. But he's played by a guy named Jack Noseworthy. This is the guy Kevin was talking about earlier that theoretically could be a Cult of Splat all-star, but his role in Encino Man is not large enough to earn his Rotten Tomatoes page.
No, he has.
So he will forever be wanting.
Yeah. He has like 10 words. You need more than 10 words.
What other movies did you have or do you have that you'd qualify for?
Idle Hands and Event Horizon.
Oh, yeah. And you could throw a fucking Undercover Brother on there.
He's also in Alive.
That fucking
the Eaten People movie.
Right. Yeah.
But Pauly Shore tells these guys, he's like, hey, man, that's not cool. He could have hurt his pancreas.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
He could, I guess. Yeah. Link is drawing with ketchup and mustard. He's drawing like stick people with a woman's got big boobs.
Betty Nugs.
And Ella is just like, is that your girlfriend back in Estonia? Betty Nugs. But she's basically just like, you know, don't worry about her because I'm right here and I'll S that D. So whip it out. And Sean Astin at this point, he comes up to Robin and he's like, remember, we've been naked together. And he holds up this photo of them as babies bathing together. And I'm like, A, why do you have that? B, why do you have it out in public?
Yeah.
Why are you waving it in her face right now?
C, could you be even more creepier?
Yeah, seriously.
Dave's the worst.
And she's just like, put that away. What the fuck is wrong with you? But Matt comes up and he like grabs Astin and yanks him onto the ice, starts, you know, giving him the Suge Knight. And Link steps up, and you know, Brandon Fraser's 6'3", so he's kind of intimidating. But Matt's just like, you know, what are you gonna do?
Link's like, hey, where's the juice? And that's where I got it. That part specifically.
That makes sense.
The Matt punches Link and he just eats it. And Taylor and friend are just like, oh, he took it. Whoa. They go all Bill and Ted with it. And Robin is just like not impressed by Matt. She doesn't think that this is cool. And so she takes his class ring and she throws it.
Why did he have rope on it? That was weird to me.
I'm guessing because it was too big for her.
No, that makes sense. Okay.
So the rope like made it smaller. So
I'd seen that before and I don't remember why, but.
So they decide they have to teach Link how to defend himself against buttholes like Matt. Their word, not mine. So of course, what do? You watch some 80s wrestling.
Of course.
Was this Harley Race? Could you tell?
I think it was Dino Bravo actually.
Oh, okay. But he's like doing some airplane spin. And so like Link picks up Sean Astin and puts him in an airplane spin. Then they watch some Kung Fu, which they never actually showed what they were watching. It was Kung Fu the show, right?
Right. Yeah.
But so Sean Astin like holds up a board for Link to break and Link just grabs it and breaks it over Sean Astin's head.
I love that.
Sean Astin makes him like a glass full of egg yolks to drink like Rocky. And instead Link just eats the shells.
You can get salmonella.
You're a lawyer. That's salmonella. And they show him some boxing, which apparently the only thing he seemed to learn was how to shadow box. He just goes like once or twice. And that's it. That's all he learned from boxing. And then he just picks Pauly up in an airplane spin again.
My pancreas.
Pauly's like, how my pancreas?
Oh, that's always fun. Just sort of like, you know, bust out and people are like, how do you know that's your pancreas?
I always just think of this one random episode of Beavis and Butthead, or I think they got in a car wreck or something, and Beavis is like holding his stomach, and he's like, my liver, my liver. Butthead's like, no lower, dude. He like covers his crotch. He's like, oh, my liver, my liver. Next day at school, Taylor and friend are very impressed still by Link being able to take a punch from Matt. Link cooks a frog on a Bunsen burger with frog legs.
Yum.
Bunsen burner. And then he just eats it like an ice cream cone or something.
Yummy.
Another Rose McGowan sighting. like her role in this movie, she's in it twice, and both times it's like Link walks by and it kind of pans over to her and another girl and they say something.
Something sassy.
Something of no consequence whatsoever.
Yeah. She did not need to be in this movie at all.
No. They say something along the lines of like, I'd eat that with jelly or something like that.
I'd let him butter my biscuits.
I think she said he is so rude.
But rude meaning good?
Or yeah.
Yeah.
Like a rude boy.
I mean, sure. Yeah. I do remember rude being a thing.
It wasn't in Aberdeen.
In Enumclaw, it just meant you listen to ska. And also Black and White Checkered became called Rude Print.
Okay.
All right, then.
I mean, that's something I discovered when I moved up here, that L.A. and Seattle have different slang. Some of it crosses over, and probably more so now than before, but there was definitely a culture shock and like different words being used.
I thought you were going to say when you moved up here, you discovered ska. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. You definitely would have heard more ska in California.
I mean, I heard like old ska, like Madness. But as far as like, I think the 90s ska bands, I don't think they were popular like yet.
Two Tone and stuff.
Yeah.
Boss Tones.
The new wave ska.
Right.
Right. Let's see. We get a montage again. A montage showing off how popular Link is getting. He's also getting very good at Radmobile, this racing game at Blades. We see that he's joined a computer club whose president is none other than Data from the Goonies.
Short round.
Sean Astin getting his friends in. And Matt is just like, why doesn't this happen when Dave hits me? And it's like, because you'd fall down like a bitch. Yeah.
You don't cry. Eat it
like Link does. But so they go to the California Museum of Anthropology. You know where this is going. They go to an early man exhibit. The teacher says, you know, if Cro-Magnon man sat next to you on a bus today, you'd never know the difference. And it's like, oh, he's right. Ah.
They all rode a bus with a caveman today. They have no idea.
Link sees some doctors like putting together human bones. And he's kind of like enamored by it. And then all of a sudden he sees the dinosaur bones and he freaks out. And so he runs into the exhibit and he starts trying to build a fire in the exhibit. And Pauly Shore is just like, he knows, man. He knows what happened to him.
Does he?
We got to help him. I don't think he knows exactly what happened.
That seems like a little bit of like advanced, like critical thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure we're there yet. It's been a week since he's been on Thought.
Right. But Pauly tells him, you know, we're your new family now. I'm like, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Your wife? She's super dead.
Yeah. Way dead. Your parents?
Betty Nugs is dead.
Yeah.
So the next day, he's going to Driver's Ed. He's got to share a car with Robin. And so Pauly and Sean Astin, they're in a different class. And they look over and they see him getting in the car. And they're just like, Radmobile! And so they run out and they like, jump into the car. Pauly's able to get into the passenger seat. Sean Astin dives into the back window. He's like, oh, hey, Robin.
Good thing that window is rolled down.
Yeah, right.
Conveniently.
So Link, he's driving like it's Radmobile. He's racing along and he puts it up on two wheels like Mahoney. It fits. The damn thing fits.
Park the car, butt breath.
Is that a wig? It's a wig. Wig alert, ladies. He just Mahoney's it through the quad, drives out onto the street, still up on two wheels, runs a red light right in front of Aston's mom and sister. And then the next time we see him, he's just driving on all fours.
Got it down easily somehow.
Yeah. But he like skids into the parking spot and you just hear Robin go, congratulations. I think you failed Driver's Ed.
Yeah. Amongst other things.
Yeah, probably committed a litany of crimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so Link gets out and he runs into this bar that's right there.
Did he smell tacos?
Near the school? I don't know. What was it?
So he smelled tacos, I assume.
That feels racist.
I don't mean it to be.
But I mean, tacos do smell good.
They do.
It does. But I feel like Kevin's basing that solely on the clientele in the bar.
I apologize.
Well, I mean, they do all run away when immigration comes.
Wait, was it immigration?
No, it was actual cops or regular cops. But the bartender's like, immigration.
And everybody split.
Yeah, we'll get into that in just a second. But Polly steps up to the bar. There's this group of Mexican guys there. And he's like, you want to be a man, S.A.? And Polly's like, I'm on my way. And like opens his shirt. He's like, look at my patch, bro. Oh. And the guy's like, oh, muy macho. And he's like, you want to be a man? Drink this. And he's like, is that tequila? Like, yeah. And he's like, where's the worm? Like, I'm looking at the worm.
The worm's right there, S.A.
He goes, I'm not a worm. I'm a weasel. I can't even make that noise without like spitting all over myself.
It's a tough one.
But then I love the guy just like starts calling him Weasel. He's like, you want to be a man, Weasel? Drink this shot. And so he takes the shot and he's like, Ultra, Ultra Vase. And everybody's chanting, Weasel, Weasel, Weasel. Good chant cadence on this one, Kevin.
Yeah, they nailed this one.
Does another shot. They line it up for him to do a third one. And he's just like, wait, do I have to pay for him? We see Link dancing out on the dance floor.
As you do.
Yeah.
This Polly's new friend is just like, hey, man, you see that muchacha over there? Don't look at her. If I see any man looking at my muchacha, he will no longer be recognized as a man. Ooh. And then, of course, we see Link like looking, going from her feet, just moving his entire body up her body all the way till he gets to her head. And then he just like grabs her and carries her away. Meanwhile, we see Matt and his two cronies breaking into the school office. They find Linkovich's file and realize that he has a dog license. Ooh. He's like, do you know what this means? He's a dog? It's not his license. Back at the bar, Rob. What was that?
So that guy's going to go far in life.
Yeah. We see Robin dancing on the bar. Link drinks an entire bowl of salsa. So I guess maybe there could be tacos if there's salsa.
I apologize. Salsa and chips means tacos.
Yeah, in theory.
M-O-O-N smells a boon. M-O-O-N spells tacos.
What?
What?
The stand?
Oh.
Oh, you're, yeah.
Fucking, what's his face?
Randall Flagg?
No.
The other one?
God damn it.
God damn it.
Marshall's dad.
Marvin.
Marvin. Yeah.
Marvin Erickson?
Marvin Erickson.
Also the dude from Coach.
Right. Dauber. And Patrick Starr. Dauber.
Dauber, that was his name?
Yeah, and Coach.
Yeah, so Link drinks the salsa and he like burns his brain because I guess it must be super hot salsa, but he falls right into a conga line. And I'm like, who the fuck does a conga line not at a wedding?
I've never seen one at a wedding.
I have.
I've seen them. I've never taken part.
The first wedding I ever went to had a conga line, and it was literally like there. I mean, I was probably about 6 or 7 years old, maybe 8. I don't know. And so in my recollection, there were hundreds of people there. It's probably not accurate, but my
like
memory,
14.
Yeah, my memory is that every person at that wedding was in this conga line.
It was like a game of snake.
It was. It went around the entire fucking reception hall.
Twice.
Yeah. But so this guy comes up to Link and he says, you know, I said if I saw anyone with my lady, I would kill him.
And KDK!
Link says the only Spanish he knows, El queso es viejo y podrido. ¿Dónde está la sanitaria? And this guy's like, you're right, S.A. She's not worth it. So to me, that means that when he said El queso es viejo y podrido, the cheese is old and moldy. This guy took that to mean her vagina. Right? Am I wrong?
Probably. Yeah.
I'm good with going there as well.
Yeah, he's like, she's not worth it. And so she slaps him. Then suddenly the cops show up and everyone in the bar runs. And so I'm just like, what is going on? Like, I know why Sean Astin and Link and Polly are running. But yeah, why is everyone else running? Is it like Tony said, they think it's immigration?
Yeah, the cops bust in and the bartender says, immigration.
Right.
I just heard him say police.
He goes, policia, immigration.
Oh, I guess I just missed that second part.
Did you say policia? I didn't catch that.
But Link is busy hanging from the rafters. And Aston's like, you know, we got to go. We're going to get busted. And this cop's like, you are busted. And this guy has played a cop in like 17 different things. I swear to God, I've seen this guy play a cop in so many different things.
That's all he does.
But we see Robin and Pauly Shore get a ride home from the Mexican guys, who Pauly is teaching them his verbiage. They're all talking about, you know, like, quit harshing his gig. Because Weasel is, yeah, he's the greasiest weasel.
Weasel or Stoney is the crustiest vato I've ever witnessed. So don't harsh his gig, buddy.
And Robin is driving their like lowrider with flames painted on it and stuff. But she gets home and Matt is waiting for her at her house. And she, you know, calls him an asshole and says, I'm not going to prom with you. I want to go with someone cooler. And like goes in the house and slams the door. And he's just like, who's cooler than me?
Nobody, Matt. Come on.
His brother.
Yeah, I mean, brother. If
brother's a cop.
If you ask that, then you're not cool.
No.
You're a dick.
Yeah.
But so Sean Astin and Link go to jail. And Astin uses his one phone call to call Robin. Kevin, what did we say during summer school?
We said so many things during summer school, but he...
We said you don't use your one phone call to call your crush.
Exactly.
That should go without saying.
And this, you know, goes up on our bad decision meter.
Yeah, we should have been doing the bad decision meter for Dave here.
Yeah, we should have, because everything he does is just one bad decision after another.
But he uses his one phone call to ask Robin to prom. And she says succinctly, no. Just no.
You can go fuck yourself.
But she tells him that she wants to go with Link. And, you know, could you ask him? And he's like, you know how fucked up that is?
You know you've been with you like, for 20 years.
Like, I just asked you. And now you're like, no. But can you ask your friend for me?
But let's all remember, Dave sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because his reaction to this is to drive Link out to the desert and just leave him there.
Like a fucking dog.
Yeah. But he gives him a handful of quarters to play Radmobile, at least.
Not sure, to eat or get, you know, anything to drink.
Right. But he basically, you know, like Harry and the Hendersons him, where he's just like, get out of here. Can't you see we don't want you?
Get!
And so Link like, starts walking down the street like Sad Hulk. When Pauly shows up on his moped, and he's like, what are you doing, man? You don't bag friends. And Dave is just like, you know, what do you care? The only thing you care about is nugs, chilling, and grindage. And I'm like, I don't know what any of those are. Like when I hear nugs, I just think of Tatum, who eats chicken nugs.
Chicky nug nugs.
Do you watch Tatum?
No.
Oh, he's a talking dog on Instagram.
Oh.
He's funny.
Neat. So, yes, you had to be there.
Everybody go follow. Hi, this is Tatum.
Okay.
So, Pauly says, you know, maybe Matt was right about you all along.
Ooh.
Ooh. And Dave tackles him and they tussle around on the ground. And Link comes up and pulls him apart. And Dave's just like, you know, I don't know what I was thinking, man. I'm so sorry. And they hug. And Link is just like, family. Turns into Vin Diesel all of a sudden.
When you're here, you're family.
Olive Garden.
But so Link goes to prom with Robin. Dave doesn't go because he says he's on probation, which doesn't make sense because Link would also be on probation. But
right. It'd both be grounded.
Yeah. But Matt breaks into Sean Astin's room and he finds these Polaroids of Link when he was still encrusted in the ice. And his initial reaction is, gotcha.
Ha ha.
Not, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
He's a fucking caveman?
I probably would have taken the Polaroids down to like where, you know, Dave and Stoney were and just like, dudes, we got to talk. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah. I'd be so confused and not just like, nailed him.
Yeah, nailed him.
But so Link and Robin get named prom king and queen, or at least she gets named queen. And before he can get named king, Matt interrupts.
Shush.
And Robin is like, Matt, will you stop this? And he just goes, shush. I'm like, that's intimidating. Yeah. Good one there, guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know the truth about this guy. And you guys want to know it? And everyone's like, yeah, sure. All right. Sure,
yeah. Okay. I mean, I guess. Yeah.
He's like, he's a caveman. And everyone just goes, woo! I'm like, I am so confused right now. Like, I have no idea what's going on.
They're party animals. They love cavemen.
Yeah.
I guess.
Fucking party!
Caveman, yeah. Not like, I have questions.
Yeah, like, or Matt's a liar. Caveman? What does that mean? Like a literal caveman?
Or did he like live in a cave in Estonia?
Right. Is this before or after Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer?
Maybe Ooh. Around the same time.
Your world frightens me. Oh, I love you, Phil Hartman. All right.
Good old Philly.
But so Sean Astin comes in and, you know, Matt punches him. And so Link headbutts Matt. And then once he kind of like regains his composure, what does he do? Puts him in an airplane spin.
Airplane spin!
Launches him into the cake, which, who had, did you guys have cake at your prom?
No.
Not that I can recall.
Yeah. I went to 3 proms and 0 cakes.
Oh, just 3 proms. Humble brag over here.
No, sorry.
Wait, why did you go to 3 proms?
Were you extra stupid?
Went sophomore, junior. Wait,
were they all yours?
Sophomore, junior, and senior years.
You did sophomore prom?
No, I went with a senior.
Oh.
Oh, look at this guy.
Yeah. Tell us more.
It was his friends.
Oh, never mind. I don't care anymore. But so now it's dance break time. The band at the prom is Infectious Grooves, and they play the song Feed the Monkey. You've got to feed the monkey.
What are they talking about the monkey? What do you think that means?
Touch him, love him.
Stroke the monkey.
Yeah, Infectious Grooves, by the way, is Suicidal Tendency frontman's Mike Muir's funk metal side band.
I knew that dude looked familiar. I was like, I thought wasn't a like a hardcore metal band.
Yeah, I legitimately was like, is this Suicidal Tendencies? Because this doesn't fit.
Yeah, and also fucking Robert Trujillo from Metallica is the bassist.
Oh, really?
Shit. Yeah.
So go check out Infectious Grooves, guys. After prom, Sean Astin gets his wish. He has a pool party.
Your cousin likes Infectious Grooves.
Of course he does. He has a big pool party in his pit. It's still just a pit. Like,
it's just full of water now.
It's also, is that rainwater? Because it was pouring down rain earlier.
Now you just let the hose go for a few days.
Dude, seriously, like, unless you have, because I had a friend who had a pool, and like, unless you have a built-in pool filling system, you just fill it up with the water hose and you let it fill up for days.
But this is a pit. It would just be mud.
Yeah.
It would take so much water to fill that because it's going to turn to mud first.
You know what would happen is it would spring a leak and start running down the hill.
I was looking at
decimating the houses below.
On IMDb, they have the exact like house address for this, and it is kind of like what you're describing, Tony. It's on like the top of a hill, and there's like a neighborhood right underneath it. So if that pool went, it's taking multiple houses out with it.
Oh, yeah.
Can we stop calling it a pool? It's a pit.
Okay.
Ah, I fell in here at the pit. Pool, pond. Pond would be good for you.
I like ponds.
But Sean Astin finally nuts up and he kisses Robin and they get smoochy smoochy and Link shows up and he's like, ugh.
I want to show you something cool, Robin. My mouth.
My dick.
Show you my uncircumcised caveman dick.
Wait, Sean Astin has an uncircumcised caveman dick?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Link.
But Polly and Link notice these muddy footprints leading into the house. And so they follow him up to the bathroom and they see the cave woman or the cave nug as Polly calls her, taking a bubble bath.
How did she figure that one out?
Yeah, that's a good question.
This is science adjacent, guys.
That's true.
But so they give her the whole makeover too, and Polly talks about how she's so greasy. And then it's the end, buddy.
He'll be back.
Yeah, and then we like the credits start and they quickly stop. This was before post credits was a thing. They just quickly stop and you see Polly Shore putting on a pair of sunglasses. He says, "I'll be back." And there was an Encino woman, but it fucking tanked.
Tanked bad.
Yep.
Yep.
I think they tried to make an Encino Man TV show too that never got off the ground.
Yeah. Remember when they made a TV show based on the Geico caveman?
Oh god, I forgot about that.
Everybody forgot.
Isn't that where Nick Kroll got his start?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, I don't think that was where he got his start, but he was on it. All right, so Tony.
Yeah.
Yes, he was one of the cavemen. This is your movie. So tell us why you love it.
It's fucking hilarious. I mean, it the science. It's funny because the science is so absurd, first of all. But I mean, like Polly Shore, sure. Like you said in that review, it's like it all depends on how much you can tolerate Polly Shore. And I fully understand that a lot of people can't. But, you know, I grew up with Polly Shore.
But we know that Kevin can't.
Right? Yes.
I can deal with it. I definitely did not put son-in-law on the list.
It's Carly Gugino with blonde hair.
Yeah, and Kelly Kapowski's pretty hot in that, too.
Is she in that?
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen it, so I don't really remember. But
blonde hair. Not like a bird, blonde hair.
Steven Tyler PJs. Steven Tyler PJs.
This is one of the, again, like us.
Oh, yeah, and the great Hambino is in it, too.
Oh, yeah, he plays her little brother.
Wait, this.
What?
If you Google son-in-law cast, you get like Polly Shore, Carla Gugino, Patrick Rana, Tiffany Thiessen. And then at the end, it says, and Brendan Fraser as Link.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's in the college. He's in one of the college scenes, eating a frog, I think.
Yeah, he's a non-speaking role.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. But he gets top billing on Google. Above Adam Goldberg.
Ooh.
But yeah, no, this is just one of those movies that I always went to when I was a kid. Like, I think it must have been earlier on our show when I was talking to you about this. Just those movies when you're homesick from school, just those go-to movies you always watch. This is one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for me, it holds that special place in my heart. I think it's hilarious. I think people who don't like this are just being too serious. They need to fucking lighten up.
Kevin, what do you think?
I love this movie. I watched it a ton when I was, younger, right when it came out. I think we had it on VHS. So yeah, it was definitely one of the movies I watched a lot when I was sick. And I haven't watched it in, I don't even know how long. It's been at least 10, 15 years probably. And I still laughed in kind of all the same spots I laughed at when I watched it as a kid. And apparently Disney Plus is talking to Polly Shore, Sean Astin, and Brendan Fraser about doing a sequel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that news broke like a month ago.
Are you behind that? I mean, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how Hocus Pocus 2 does. Then I'll see how I feel about that.
Like, what would the premise be?
Caveman,
30 years later.
Yeah, caveman 30 years later. Yeah.
Unfrozen caveman lawyer.
But so I'm going to Emerald City Comic Con. Is it next weekend? No, 2 weekends from now. And then in September, I'm going to Rose City Comic Con. Brendan Fraser's being at Emerald City. And Sean Astin is at Rose City. So I'm gonna get them to sign my DVD of Encino Man.
Nice. It's
awesome.
Nice.
Ask them about Encino Man 2. Ask them if we can write it.
I want to ask Brendan Fraser how much time he spent around a toddler. Because I'm really curious. Because he had those mannerisms so nailed. Like, it's easy, to act like what you presume a child would act like. But he had it so down. It was weird, like when Dave is trying to teach him his name, and he's like, Link, Dave, Link, Link. And like, he's like, okay, now I'm Dave, you. And he like, instead of like saying anything, he like tries to put his fingers in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he like looks over at Stoney. It's like, oh my God, that's exactly what a child does.
It's like, answer, please.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, Dave. And so Link goes, Dave.
Yeah.
No, I'm Dave. I'm Spinner.
Yeah, I'm Spinner.
Do you, Tony, do you feel like growing up in California shaped your thoughts on this movie? Like, do you think if you didn't grow up in California, if you grew up in Seattle or somewhere else, that you would think different of this movie?
Not really, no, because where I lived wasn't like this. Encino is very different than like the San Gabriel Valley. It's just, it's not like a different culture so much. It's just the settings are different. I mean, neighborhoods look different. And like the only place that I even really recognized as being in California was Magic Mountain, which was called Mega Mountain. Is that what it's called?
I think that's what they call it, Mega Mountain.
Actually, was it even Magic Mountain that they went to in the movie? Or was it a different amusement park?
Does anybody know? The filming locations, it says Magic Mountain.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah.
What's the roller coaster they go on? Anybody know?
I don't know, it had like six loops, and the entire time I was watching it earlier today, I was just like, oh shit, that would make me so sick.
Yeah, it was pretty intense.
I don't think that had a lot to do with it. And honestly, when I was a kid, I didn't even know what Encino was.
Yeah, like honestly, please remember I was 9 when this came out. I thought Encino was some kind of like the Encino period. Like there was the Jurassic period and the Thoracic period, and it's Thoracic. And the Encino period, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think
and the Manchurian period.
I think probably in my head I thought a similar thing. It wasn't until I was older that I realized Encino was a city that
yeah.
I could never afford to live in.
Maybe they should have called it California Man in America too.
I mean, I presume older people knew what Encino was.
How many older people were watching this?
True. I mean, yeah, I wonder how many like 20 or even 30 somethings actually liked like Pauly Shore or Mikey from the Goonies.
I don't think 9 and 10 year olds were the target audience either.
No.
Well, as far as like maturity level, it was pretty mundane. It was PG 13.
I think so.
I mean, it's definitely an R, but
no, it's a PG.
Okay.
PG. Okay.
I think nowadays it would probably be PG 13. No, it still wouldn't be an R, but definitely it would be PG-13 if it were to be rated now, I think. But yeah.
Kevin,
good stuff.
Any last thoughts?
Watch it. It's $3 on Amazon or Apple TV or just basically anywhere. Just go watch it again.
You could probably buy used on like fucking eBay for $5.
Probably.
It's worth owning, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy this movie too. This is a movie you and I have quoted back and forth for years.
Mm-hmm.
Pauly Shore, like, love him or hate him, he's so one note.
Yeah,
really. Like, even in a Goofy movie where he's a cartoon, that cartoon is still just Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he's very good at that one thing. And that review nailed it, that if you like Pauly Shore and you know like movies like Biodome or something, then you're gonna like this. And if you don't like Pauly Shore, then you're probably not gonna like this solely because of Pauly Shore.
Right. Would you classify this as like a 90s stoner movie?
No. I think it had more to do with Stoney, maybe. Although like he's very ambiguously a stoner. His name's Stoney. He talks about nugs all the time. He's clearly on something.
Wait, is that what nugs are?
I mean,
could be.
I guess.
I thought nugs were boobs.
I mean, they could be. It's all very up in the air.
Like I said, he has like 7 words in his vocabulary, and he just mixes and matches them as needed.
I feel like the director, whoever, basically just said, "Here's your character. Do that."
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, 100%. We're not going to give you lines. Just improv it.
Yeah. You know, you have those things that you say, Just say those.
Just say those funny things that the kids like. This was Polly being Polly. I did read that the costumer didn't buy any of the costumes. She made like all the costumes.
Oh, wow.
And Polly Shore's wardrobe was basically just like Polly Shore's wardrobe turned up to 11.
I believe that.
Or actually brought down younger is what she said. Okay. She basically just took Polly Shore's wardrobe and made it younger.
I mean, I have a cousin who was probably about that age around this time. You know,
and he wore pink fishnet shirts.
A girl, but she dressed like basically like a 90s hippie. So the same kind of style. So that rang very true to me the way he was dressed. So. What was I going to say? I forgot. I lost it.
Good deal. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap things up. Anybody have any last words?
Grindage.
All right. So thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, head over to Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars. Tell us that you like to wheeze the juice. Tell us about your nugs. Tell us about your grindage. Tell us whatever you want. Just make sure you give us those 5 stars. Also, Tony, you got anything you want to plug?
I do the Grave Plot podcast, obviously, with this guy over here.
That show's terrible.
It's fucking junk. graveplotpodcast.com. And I also do art. You can check me out on skeletonyart.com or twitch.tv/skeletonyart.
And you can also follow this show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Cult of Splat. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram as The Taylor Bartle. And you can follow Kevin where?
Kevin Neskoda on Twitter and Neskoda, D-U-H, on Instagram.
So there you go. Hit us up. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be back next week. Until then, see ya.
Bye.